So we'll get go back to history. 1936, March 1st. Today during Holy Mass, I experience a strange force, an urge to start realizing God's wishes. I had such a clear understanding of the things the Lord was asking of me, that truly if I were to say that I do not understand what God is demanding from me, I would be lying. Because the Lord is speaking His will known to me so clearly and distinctly that I do not have the least shadow of a doubt about them. I realized that it would be the greatest ingratitude to deny any longer this undertaking which the Lord wishes to bring to fulfillment for His glory and the benefit of a great number of souls. And He is using me as a miserable tool through which to realize His eternal plans of mercy. Truly, how ungrateful my soul would be to resist God's will any longer. Nothing will stop me any longer, be it persecution, sufferings, sneers, threats, entreaties, hunger, cold, flattery, friendships, adversities, friends or enemies. Be it things I am experiencing now or things that will come in the future or even the hatred of hell, nothing will deter me from doing the will of God. I'm not counting on my own strength, but on His omnipotence, for as He gave me the grace of knowing His holy will, He will also grant me the grace of fulfilling it. I cannot fail to mention how much my own lower nature resists this thing, manifesting its own desires, and there results within my soul a great struggle, a death of Jesus in the Garden of Olives. And so I too cry out to God, the Eternal Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. O Lord, may your will be done. What I'm about to go through is no secret to me, but with full knowledge, I accept whatever God sends me. I trust in you, O merciful God, and I wish to be the first to manifest to you that confidence which you demand of souls. O eternal truth, help me and enlighten me along the roadways of my life, and grant that your will be accomplished in me. My God, I desire nothing but the fulfillment of your will. It does not matter whether it will be easy or difficult. I feel an extraordinary force driving me to action. One thing alone holds me back, and that is holy obedience. Because the superior, especially bishop, no, say, okay, if you read the will of God, it will be done. So don't worry, be patient. But right now, that's a great thing, eh? Obedience. I continued these states without a break for many days. My physical strength declined, and though I did not speak to anyone about it, nevertheless, Mother Superior noticed my pain and remarked that I had changed in appearance and was very pale. She told me to go to bed earlier and to sleep longer. And she had a cup of hot milk brought to me in the evening. She had a motherly heart, full of care, and tried to help me. But in the case of spiritual sufferings, external things have no influence, and they do not bring much relief. It was from the confessional then I drew my strength in the consideration of knowing that it would not be long before I could begin to act. On Thursday, when I went to my cell, I saw over me the secret host in great brightness. Then I heard a voice that seems to be coming from above the host. In the host is your power. It will defend you, the host. After these words, the vision disappeared, but a strange power entered my soul, and a strange night as to what our love for God consists in, namely, in doing His will. O Holy Trinity, Eternal God, I want to shine in the crown of your mercy as a tiny gem whose beauty depends on the ray of your light and your inscrutable mercy. All that is beautiful in my soul is yours, O God. O of myself, I am ever nothing. At the beginning of Lent, I asked my confessor for some mortification for this time of fast. I was told not to cut down on my food, but while eating, to meditate on how the Lord Jesus on the cross accepted vinegar and gall. This would be mortification. I didn't know that this would be so beneficial to my soul. The benefit is that I'm meditating constantly on His sorrowful passion, and so while I'm eating, I'm not preoccupied with what I'm eating, but I'm reflecting on my Lord's death. At the beginning of Lent, I also asked to have the subject of my particular exam changed, and I was told to do everything with the pure intention of reparation for poor sinners. This keeps me in continual union with God, and this intention perfects my actions, because everything I do is done for immortal souls. All hardships and fatigue are as nothing when I think that they reconcile sinful souls with God. So every new thing we offer is for the sake of souls, so it's helpful. Mary is my instructress, who is ever teaching me how to live for God. My spirit brightens up in your gentleness and your humility, O Mary. On one occasion, when I dropped by the chapel for a 5-minute adoration and was praying for a certain soul, I came to understand that God does not always accept our petitions for the souls we have in mind, but directs these to other souls. You may praying for A, but Jesus, but God will direct your intention on the merit to C. Not necessary for the intention. Hence, although we do not relieve the souls we intended to relieve in the purgatorial suffering, still our prayer is not lost. Maybe not the time yet that so they have to take some more time in purgatory. So even you say hundreds of masses or all things, if God's will is not yet done, so take some more time, but all the masses go to sea. Interesting, eh? I thought all go to A, and then you have 1 million masses, and so we can direct go to heaven. But not. Intimate communion of a soul with God. God approaches the soul in a special way, known only to Himself and to the soul. No one perceives this mysterious union. Love presides in this union, and everything is achieved by love alone. Jesus gives me gives himself to the soul in a gentle and sweet manner, and in his steps there is peace. He grants the soul many graces and makes it capable of sharing his eternal thoughts. Unfrequently, he reveals to it his divine plans. So we need to have this kind of communication with the Lord, always mentally with the Lord, with Jesus, with God the Father. Father Andres told me that it would be a good thing to have in God's church a group of souls who would beg for his mercy, because in fact we are all in need of that mercy. After these words, an extraordinary night filled my soul. Oh, how good is the Lord. March 18, 1936, I asked the Lord Jesus to take the first step of bringing about some change or some external event, or by letting them expel me, as I found it impossible to leave the congregation on my own initiative. So she was always thinking to start a new congregation. The only way is that they kick her out from common, then she can start a new one. But she found it difficult to leave. And I was in agony over this for more than 3 hours. I couldn't pray, but kept submitting my will to the will of God. So sometimes even for good things, we can be distracted. The will of God, your prayer, but for some other things, some other reasons that we think of so many other things, so we are distracted. The next morning, Mother Superior told me that Mother General was transferring me to Warsaw. Oh. I answered to Mother that perhaps I should not go, but leave the congregation directly from here. No more transference. Just leave. I regarded this to be the external sign of which I had been asking God. He thought it's changing of place. That means that he is leaving the congregation. Mother Superior made no reply. But after some time, she called me again and said, You know what, sister? Go anywhere and don't worry about wasting a trip. If you could, you should return immediately. Even if you should return immediately. I answered, all right, I will go. Although my heart was seized with pain, because I knew that by this trip, this matter would be delayed. However, I try always to be obedient despite everything. That savor obedience. Otherwise, she'll be lost in the wilderness. In the evening, when I was praying, the Mother of God told me, Your lives must be like mine, quiet and hidden, in a ceasing union with God, pleading for humanity and preparing the world for the second coming of God. Very beautiful message, eh? The message of Our Lady to her and also to us. Your lives must be like mine, quiet and hidden, in a unceasing union with God, perpetual internal adoration, pleading for humanity and preparing the world for the second coming of God. In the evening during benediction, my soul was for some time in communion with God the Father. I was in his hand like a little child, and I heard these words in my soul: do not fear anything, my daughter. All the adversities will be shattered at my feet. At these words, a deep peace and a great interior calm entered my soul. when I complained to the Lord that He was taking me help, taking my help away, and that I would be alone again and would not know what to do, I heard these words: "Do not be afraid. I am always with you." After these words, a deep peace once again entered my soul. His presence penetrated me completely in a way that could be sensed. My spirit was flooded with light, and my body participated in this as well. So you can imagine, sometimes full peace and suddenly gone, and have to ask and start again, come and go, but always learning to trust, learn to believe. This is life. On the evening of the last day before my departure from Vilnius, an elderly sister revealed the condition of her soul to me. She said that she had already been suffering interiorly for several years, that it seemed to her that all her confessions had been bad, and that she had doubts as to whether the Lord Jesus had forgiven her. I asked her if she had ever told her confessor about this. She answered that she had spoken many times about this to her confessors, and the confessors are always telling me to be at peace, but still I suffer very much, and nothing brings me relief, and it constantly seems to me that God has not to forgive me. I answered, "You should obey your confessor, sister, and be truly at peace, because this is certainly a temptation." But many times we have temptations of doubting, scrupulous, sure, distracted. That means when we are distracted, we don't have kind of intention, the prayer so intensely. We are thinking about what. So temptation is making us distracted so that we cannot be centered in prayer. So many times when you start in the Mass, you said one thing in the Philippines there, one thing in the house there, all these things come. Oh yes, I forgot to pull off the knife. Oh, the fire. The fire. But we are always thinking, oh, the key. Where's the key? Always something distracts you. But she entreated me with tears in her eyes to ask Jesus if He had forgiven her and whether her confessions had been good for or not. I answered forcefully, "Ask Him yourself, sister. If you don't believe your confessors." But she clutched my hand and did not want to let me go until I gave her an answer. And she kept asking me to pray for her and to let her know what Jesus would tell her, would tell me about her. So she finds Sister Faustina is the intercessor. So she know what God is up, planning for her. And so this beautiful sister, they have the trust of trust. Then you imagine, although Faustina that didn't talk much, is really a suffering soul. But some people trust her, really, this person. This old nun is by experience much more than she. But she has all the full trust. If you trust the Lord, people trust you, because they trust the Lord through you. We are the instrument, nothing else. If you don't have this kind of sentiment of the Lord, what can you do? You can say many things, but you're not living the will of God in Him. How can people find Him in you? No. Crying bitterly, she would not let me go and said to me, "I know that the Lord Jesus speaks to you, sister." It's true. Some sister doesn't believe, but she believed that she had contact with the Lord. So sure you have to cut to here and see, come on, let me know. Since she was clutching my hand and I would not wrench myself away, I promised her I would pray for her. In the evening, during the benediction, I heard these words in my soul. Tell her that her disbelief wounds my heart more than the sins she committed. That's the answer. Scrupulosity means it so much depends on self rather than the Lord. It's sometimes very difficult, right? When you have your fear to be lost in, and will thrown into hell, so you are scared. That's true. Scared. It's a real temptation. The devil likes to do these things. So we are always no peace. When there's no peace, we won't do much better in the will of God, because you're always thinking of yourself, can I be saved? Or thrown into hell? All these things, worries, and that's temptation. And what Jesus says, her disbelief wounds me more than her sin. She was doubting whether her sin are forgiven, but this doubt worse. Tell her that her disbelief wounds my heart more than the sins she committed. When I told her this, she began to cry like a child, and great joy entered her soul. I understood that God wanted to console this soul through me. Even though it cost me a good deal, I fulfilled God's wish. When I entered the chapel for a moment that same evening to thank God for all the graces He had bestowed on me in this house, suddenly God's presence enveloped me. I felt like a child in the hands of the best of fathers. And I heard these words, "Do not fear anything. I'm always with you." If you have Jesus in you, even fear will be away. If you don't have Jesus, so temptations always be there. His love penetrated my whole being. I felt I was entering into such close intimacy with Him that I cannot find words to express it. Then I saw one of the seven spirits near me, radiant as in other times, under a form of light. I constantly saw him beside me when I was riding on the train. I saw an angel standing on every church we passed, but surrounded by light which was paler than that of the spirit who was accompanying me on the journey. And each of these spirits who were guarding the churches bowed his head to the spirit who was near me. So all the angels, no? So his angel is commander in chief. So every angel have to salute to his angel. Interesting. When I entered the convent gate at Warsaw, the spirit disappeared. Second protection. It's a guardian angel, no? Wherever you go. So when you go back to the Philippines, pray hard for your guardian angel. Let the bombs away from always. I thank God for His goodness and that He gives us angels for companions. Well, how little people reflect on the fact that they always have beside them such a guest, at the same time a witness to everything. So guardian angel is seeing what you're doing. If you're angry, put in a record. You do something good, put in a record. Be friend with your guardian angel, you see. Remember, sinners, that you likewise have a witness to all your deeds, even your loneliness. I mean, when you're alone, your guardian is still with you. Don't think that nobody knows. Almighty Jesus, your goodness surpasses all understanding, and no one will exhaust your mercy. Damnation is for the soul who wants to be damned, but for the one who desires salvation, there is the inexhaustible ocean of the Lord's mercy to draw from. How can a small vessel contain the unfathomable ocean? Our heart is so small. How can we understand the greatness of the Lord? As I was asking leave of the sisters and was about to depart, one of them apologized much to me for having helped me so little in my duties, and not only for having neglected to help me, but also for having tried to make things more difficult for me. Now, when a person leaving, they repent. Sorry, sister, I didn't do much. Not only the Lord not help you, but obstruct you on your way. However, in my own heart, I regarded her as a great benefactress, because she had exercised me in patience to such an extent that one of the elder sisters had once said, "Sister Faustina must be either a fool or a saint." You know, they have wisdom. For truly, an ordinary people would not tolerate having someone constantly do such thing out of spite. You can imagine, we're angry, some people doesn't like you, doesn't talk to you, doesn't look at you, and you feel anger. And that's Faustina behaved like a fool, but she's a saint. However, I had always approached her with goodwill, although she is bad to her. Important is you like Jesus, no? That particular sister had tried to make my work more difficult to the point that, despite my efforts, she had sometimes succeeded in spoiling what had been well done, as she herself admitted to me at our parting, and for which she begged my pardon. It is a good soul, know how to repent. A proud soul would not accept these things. I'd not wanted to prompt her intentions, but took it as a trial from God. So whatever, you don't think of this person for you, but also God allowing it, it's from God, it's a trial for you. Thank the Lord that you can embrace Jesus forsaken, embrace the suffering Jesus. You're always with Jesus with this intention, not just thinking, oh, this person, that, everybody's bad to you. Okay, but it's God allowing. You have guardian angels, also your people, to train you to be more holy. I'm greatly surprised at how one can be so jealous. When I see someone else good, I rejoice at it as if it were mine. So she was, "How come you people jealous so much?" She said, "I enjoy if you have good, something good, thank the Lord. But some people know." Why she? Not me. No. The joy of others is my joy, and the suffering of others is my suffering. For otherwise, I would not dare to commune with the Lord Jesus. So when we receive the communion, we should have the sentiment of the Lord. Is it true? Otherwise, it would be terrible. The spirit of Jesus is very simple, meek, sincere. All malice, envy, and unkindness disguised under the smile of goodwill are clever little devils. A severe word framed from sincere love does not wound the heart. You see, factory or something, the devil also use all this factory to use, make you a little bit proud. That's from the evil spirit. The spirit of Jesus is always simple, meek, sincere. All malice, envy, and unkindness disguised like a smile of goodwill are clever little devils. A severe word, freeing from sincere love, does not wound the heart. If you admonish someone out of love, although the person doesn't like to hear, but if it's true love, it heals. Although they might like you, might be for life, this is not your concern, but your love is made fine. Okay, beautiful today, eh? All the little things that Jesus allowing happen, and we have the guardian angels always protecting us, and be friends with our guardian angels. You're not alone. And remember, when you receive Jesus, you should have His meekness and gentleness. And this is the meaning of communion. Otherwise, it doesn't have. It's something external. But God wants to change your heart. The Greek word means metanoia, change of heart. A new heart is what St. Paul says always, that today I live not that I live, but Jesus lives in me.